Greetings in Jesus Christ's name, brothers and sisters. Blessing to see everyone here. Special welcome to the visitors. We're glad you're with us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before we begin. Dear Father in heaven, we're grateful that we have the privilege of gathering together, opening up your word, and understanding the way that you think, the way that you desire for us to live. Father, we pray that today you would help us to see clearly. We thank you for what we've heard already about your character and your goodness. Father, we pray that you would further help us as we desire to understand how we can live in a way that's pleasing in your sight. Father, we desire wisdom in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we think about laying up treasures in your kingdom. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes, open my eyes to the possibilities. Lord, we commit all into your care. Pray that you would give me your words to share with our brothers and sisters here. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I've been thinking about a subject of laying up treasures in heaven. Brother Abner spoke several messages on that here recently, and I really appreciated them. He spoke especially about how that we can lay up treasures through our finances, using our money, turning our money into eternal treasures. And I really appreciated that, but I got to thinking after that, some of those messages about some other ways that we can also lay up treasures. And so we'd like to look at that a little bit this morning, because the Bible has a lot to say about that. A lot to say about rewards, eternal rewards, for the things that we have here on this earth. Things that we do here on this earth. And so we'd like to just open up the scriptures this morning and think about the tremendous potential that we have by serving those around us. So turn with me first here to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to find our theme verse here. We're going to start reading here in verse 39 of Matthew chapter 10. In this chapter, this is when Jesus sends his disciples out for their first kingdom work, so to speak. The first time that he's sending them out on their own to do something, and he's giving them some practical directions first in this chapter. Then he tells them that they're going to be persecuted. He explains the Heavenly Father's care for them. He mentions about how they're of more value than many sparrows. And then he talks to them about the commitment that's required. It takes absolute commitment to serve the Lord. He says that they can't love father or mother more than they love him. And then here towards the end, he talks about the reward that they will receive. And then he kind of tacks this little part here on the end, not so much directed, as I see it, specifically to the disciples, but about those who serve the disciples, those who are a blessing to the disciples. And that's where we're going to break in here in verse 39. It says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." I'd like to put my title on the board here. A cup of cold water. Yes. And as a subtitle under that, we'll put Kingdom Servanthood. So we're taking our title from verse 42 there, where it says that whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, he will not lose his reward. So a cup of cold water, Kingdom Servanthood. Now a cup is a very basic thing. You know, this is a plastic cup, probably made in China. We use a cup several times a day, quite a few times a day, most of us. It's a humble tool. It's designed simply to hold water while we drink it. But Jesus uses this basic tool, this humble tool, to illustrate the amazing possibilities of using our earthly things to lay up treasures in heaven, a permanent reward. He says, in no wise will he lose his reward, the ones who give a cup of cold water. So Jesus, he's saying some powerful things about the rewards we can receive for our seemingly ordinary deeds of kindness. And so we want to think about some of these aspects of this powerful concept. And so, like I said, I appreciated Abner's messages on laying up treasures through investing our finances in the kingdom, and that's very good. But today we want to specifically look at things that don't require money. For two reasons. One, when I was younger, before I was working a job and earning an income, I would think about investing in the kingdom. Well, what do I have? What can I really do? Don't have money to give, really. And so that's the one group of us that we like to think about that. There's opportunities for those of us in that stage of life. The other category of us that need to think about this is ones where we have money and we'd rather give money than give our time. And that's, I'm speaking to myself. It's sometimes easier to give money than to give ourselves. Easier to give money, put money in the offering box and feel like we did our duty, than to take the time to give a cup of cold water to someone who needs it. Talk about that a little bit more later. So I have three points I'd like to look at, and we're going to arrange them like this. We have compassionate giver. Okay, compassion. We have another point here. Understanding the need. And thirdly, we want to look at the permanent rewards. And for those of you who are taking notes, you can notice we have our three points here. Compassionate giver, understanding the need, and permanent rewards, begins with C, U, and P. So we're going to go through those points there, thinking about cups. And first we've got to think about compassionate givers. You know, he says, whosoever shall give to drink. So it's open to everyone. It's an opportunity that we all have to be these givers, compassionate givers. And having a heart of compassion is the primary needed ingredient if we're going to do this. And like I mentioned already, you don't have to have money. I've felt sometimes like it'd be such a blessing to have some money to really give and really make a difference. There's camp flyers come in the mail, and they have the different needs. They list the different needs, and they have the boxes underneath. They have a box for $50, maybe $25, $50, $100, And they go on up through, and the biggest box, I'm not sure what it is, maybe 25,000. And it just, I don't know if any of you are like me, but you just think it'd be so nice if I could just check that box, 25,000, write out a check for 25,000, and now I'd really be doing some good for the kingdom, right? Or the coronavirus crisis care project, we got that newsletter the other day from CAM, and they said they have, I think their budget goal was, if I'm not mistaken, 12 million for the year, and they're at 9 million. Well, if I could just write out a check for $1 million, I feel like I really made a difference in the world, really was investing in the kingdom finally. But the economics of the kingdom are very different. It's not necessary to have $1 million to give to CAM, or even 25,000, or even 1,000, or 100. God always works with what we can afford. In Leviticus chapter 5, at several places throughout the law, but you don't need a turn there, but there was directions given that when a person sins, they shall take a lamb out of the flock. It says to take this best lamb and take that for a sin offering. And then it says in the next verse, thinking about the kindness and tenderness of God, Brother Philip, says, and if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons. So this poor brother who wasn't able to, didn't have a lamb to give, God said, that's okay, you bring what you can bring. And so that's a principle that was throughout the Old Testament. I was surprised when I searched yesterday in the books of the law how many different times that was mentioned. You bring this, but if you don't have it, bring this. If you remember when there was a sacrifice that was brought after a child was born, then the mother, the parents would take the child and they would offer a sacrifice. Jesus' parents brought him to the temple and they were going to offer a sacrifice. It says that they brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. The first thing was to bring a lamb, but if you didn't have that, then you bring the turtle doves or two young pigeons. So God always works with what we have, not with what we wish we had. And so the economics in the kingdom are fundamentally different than what we think of here on this earth. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, it says, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So it's a fundamental difference. Willing heart is the key here. A compassionate giver. Someone who wants to give. Someone who's desiring to give. And we'll get more to touch on that a little bit more later. But there is no special gifting that's needed other than a willing heart. Because if Jesus is saying that we can lay up treasures through giving a cup of cold water, and I think he's talking about a literal cup of cold water, I think yes, there can be in the spiritual sense, the living water, by all means we want to give that too, but he's talking about a literal cup of cold water. That's something that everyone can do. He's saying a cup of cold water only. So that makes it where it's something that everyone can do. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, you know, we wonder what the talents could be. There's a lot of different ideas about that. But today I'd like to just think about that a little bit different maybe. We'll just think of it very simply. It's something that God gave, right? The talents. He gave to one man, he gave five talents. He gave to the next man two and another one. The one that had received only one, what did he do with it? He took it, wrapped it up in a napkin. I don't know what all he thought. He shares some of what he thought there. But evidently he didn't think it was worth using. It wasn't something that he could really do something with. And I had, that parable had never really made a tremendous amount of sense to me. Of course, I've known about it, read it from little on up, but it never really practically applied itself to my life until I was visiting with a brother down in Tennessee not too long ago, and he he shared it a little bit different, and so I'd like to think of it in this way. So if you can picture with me, it's time to do a major excavation project. And say whoever's assigning the project, there's some major excavation project that needs done, and we give the one brother a dozer, a big bulldozer, and another one we have a dump truck, give him a dump truck, and another brother we give him a track hoe, and they're all busily working, and you get a cup. The brother gives you a cup. So now we have a dozer here working, it's pushing a lot of dirt, we have the dump truck, and it's hauling loads, and the track hoe, busily working, and they're all working, you're standing there with a cup. That's all that you were given. Now that man that received the one talent, what did he do? He wrapped it up in a napkin. He took that cup, said, well, I'll at least keep it clean. He just wraps it up, said, I don't think, compared to, look at these other brothers, there's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do in comparison. I'll just wrap it up and keep it safe. I really don't know what he had intended for me to do with this anyway. Obviously, I'm not really able to contribute like these other brothers are. I'm not able to do anything of any significance. What are we doing with our cup? Are we doing the same thing at times? Are we looking at the other brothers who can do so much more, who are serving the Lord in Turkey, or serving the Lord in Haiti, or sharing the word in some useful way, and we feel like we only have a cup? God isn't looking for someone who has a lot of giftings. He's looking for someone who's willing to use what He's given them. And it's easy for us to look at the brother who has the D8 cat dozer there, and we say, well, he's not using that very effectively. He's not doing a very good job. Or the dump truck, if he would do it just a little bit differently, it would be so much more effective in the kingdom. But what are we doing in the meantime with this cup that we have? Are we still wrapping it up, keeping it clean in the napkin, or are we getting it out and using it to take water to those thirsty machine operators on that hot day? God's looking for compassionate givers who are willing to fill their cups with cold water, no matter how insignificant it seems, and take that to the ones who are thirsty. That's compassion, caring, and having a willing heart rather than waiting till we have $1 million to give to camp. So let's think a little bit about understanding the need. You know, it says here in this verse, it says about giving a cup of cold water unto one of these little ones. Only a cup of water to one of these little ones. So we have the little ones that we're supposed to give water to. Now, I don't know if it's talking for sure about literally young children. It could be small in a literal sense, little in a literal sense. Or is it talking figuratively? If you look up that word, of course, it could be used in a literal sense or a figurative sense. It could be small in the sense of despised. Little in our estimation, or little in the world's eyes. Or it could be talking about children. Now, in this case, I kind of think it's talking, referring back to the disciples, saying, because he's talking to the disciples, and he says, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones, who's talking about his little band of disciples, a cup of cold water. It could be in that context, but it could be, we can apply it a lot of different ways. But in any sense, in any different way, it's talking about sharing with someone who has a need, and either they're little in our estimation, little in the world's eyes, or a little child. Nothing very glamorous or exciting about it, just serving where it's needed in a small way. So the disciples of Christ are all around us, of course. We have our ministers, our missionaries. We have our ordinary brothers and sisters. that might not seem like they have any special thing that we're need that we're fulfilling when we help them out. It's not like it's Brother Claire over there in Turkey that we feel like if we help him, well, you're really advancing the kingdom. That's good. By all means, do that. But what about the brothers here at home when we have a need? When we have a need for just a cup of cold water? In Galatians, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." And so I don't think it's just talking about the brothers in the faith, but I think it's talking about doing good to everyone. It says, of course, it's first priority to take care of the needs in our brotherhood and those who are serving Christ, but then beyond that, everyone, doing good to all those. And in fact, if you look in Matthew chapter 5, it is a mark of being children of our Heavenly Father when we're willing to stretch ourselves in doing good, and not just to those who are good to us and those who appreciate us, but when we do good to those who even hate us. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you," listen to this, "that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." So here, he's saying, if you do this, where you're doing good to others, you're copying off of your Heavenly Father. That's a mark of being a child of our Father in heaven. Then he goes on, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same?" You're going to miss out on the reward if you just... There's, of course, here in this other passage, it's saying you're rewarded, but there's a different type of reward, it seems, that we receive when we do something to someone who does not appreciate us in the slightest bit.
That's right.
So we can again take up our cup, not just to the brothers, not just to the little ones, but to anyone, seeking to be a blessing to anyone that we meet in our lives. And it says, "And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Perfection. Doing good to those, everyone around us. Continuing on, thinking about the needs. You know, Jesus talks about giving a cup of cold water to a thirsty person. But I think he's talking about a lot more than just a cup of cold water. Whatever God has given you, whatever God has given me. The tools in your tool belt, Brother John David, when you go to the work day, those hammers, putting them to good use to be a blessing to those around you. The kettles in your cupboard when someone needs a meal. The beds in your house when there's an overnight guest who needs a place to stay. Taking this basic tool that God has blessed us with and turning it into something that can be used to lay up treasures in heaven where there will be a permanent reward, a reward that cannot be lost. The skills that you've learned that you can use to help a brother in need, a family member, skills that you've learned that you can use to help a family member. Sometimes it's easier for us to help another brother in the church than it is to help our own siblings. I know from experience that it's something we need to work on. It's something I need to work on is investing in the kingdom, helping. Yes, it might be when we take a cup of cold water and give it to someone that's going to say thank you and appreciate it. That's one thing, but then to a brother in our own household, it's a little bit more difficult. But it's no less of an investment in the kingdom. When we're doing it for the right reason, we'll get to that later. You know, it could be, like I said, tools in your tool belt, the kettles in your cupboard, the beds in your house, the skills that you learned, simply using your hands and feet that God has blessed you with for whatever comes, ever comes, that you can use them, anything that you can do to be a blessing to another person. The encouraging verse that God gave you this morning that should be shared with someone, a cup of cold water. We have to understand who's thirsty. You know, it might not always be a cup of cold water. Sometimes it might be a cup of hot tea that's needed. We have to understand what the need is. Pay attention to what the need is. When we have a compassionate heart and a willing mind, it makes it a lot easier to see those needs. You know, it says a cup of cold water. Jesus didn't. I don't suppose that they even had ice cubes in it. It might seem like, surely, you know, this is such a basic need. Surely this brother shouldn't need help with that. But Jesus says that he will be rewarded for giving, rewarded for sharing, rewarded for caring. You should still put your heart into it, even if it seems like a small need, an insignificant need, one that no one will ever notice. I mentioned earlier about the fact that money isn't always what's needed. In fact, like I said, it's easier for us to pull out our wallet and put money in the box sometimes than it is for us to help a brother to do something else. It's easy for us to quiet our conscience and feel like we've done God's service. We've invested in the kingdom. We've done what we need to do for the week. But then we walk out from here and we see someone who has a need, or tomorrow we see someone who has a need, and how do we respond? We've already done our investment in the kingdom for the week, or are we willing to continue investing in the kingdom every day, laying down our lives for each other? We need to give ourselves, not just our money. I think it was Brother Barry Stoller who mentioned in one of the mission board meetings. He said, "We really appreciate all your efforts in all the money that you've given. It's a blessing." He was just mentioning to the churches back here. This is when he was over there in Turkey. He says it's a tremendous blessing. But he said, "What we really need is more people." And so, of course, I'm not talking, the message this morning is not talking about serving in that way necessarily, but the principle is the same. It's relatively easy to find financial contributions. It's a lot harder to find volunteers with some time. I'm speaking to myself. I'm not talking about necessarily about quitting our jobs and going into what we call full-time ministry. But I think God wants for us to be in full-time ministry wherever we are. In the little things each day. A life of service and blessing. You know, I was thinking about that, and there's two different people that come to mind when I think about living a life of service and blessing. Brother Grady Stevens, we heard about him just recently here, and it sounds to me like he was one who was very good about taking a cup of cold water to someone who was thirsty. He saw needs around him and he poured himself out in the little things, the unnoticed things. He wasn't the one who was ordained to be a minister. At that point, he led out because there was a need in the church, but he's not the ones here today who are ordained as, he's not an ordained minister here. He's not ordained. He's gone and on to his reward. But he was faithfully serving here in the background, so to speak, and I don't doubt that there was a reward for him. Amen. There was a reward because he was pouring out, giving that cup of cold water where it was needed, putting the tractor back together, whatever the thing was that was needed. Very basic needs. But it was a life of service. Another one that I was thinking of, and when we lived in Missouri, one of the ministers there, his name was Leroy Bowerman. He he was a man who lived a life of service. He constantly was seeking ways that he could be a blessing to others. And it just seemed like he could hardly find him doing anything except think of some way that he could bless others. Yes, he was working around on his farm and doing different things, but a lot of times you would meet up with him and he was going somewhere on business maybe or doing something pertaining to his farm, and along with that he had this that he wanted to drop off at so-and-so's place or pick up this, or he wanted to ask someone about that because he heard that someone else had a need over here, so he wanted to ask if they had anything that they could do to help. Or he was constantly looking for ways to be a blessing to others in practical ways, in little details in life. A cup of cold water. I remember one very hot day, we were there working on a house roof, and he was there, and it was a steep roof, and a very hot day, and we had the reflective insulation we had put down the roof, and so it's just reflecting this all that heat right back up at you as you're working there on the roof, and Leroy wasn't able to handle being up there on the roof with the heat. His middle-aged brother, he couldn't handle the heat of being up there on the roof himself, but he was going over there to the thermos of cold water, ice cold water, and he was filling up cups and walking up the ladder. You couldn't set a thermos up there on the roof, it was too steep, but he was carrying up cups of cold water and handing them out. And he was serving. He couldn't help on the front line, so to speak, of screwing the metal on, but he helped where he could. He found something that he could do, and it was just like Jesus said, a cup of cold water to someone that is thirsty. Now Jesus says that there is a permanent reward. He says, "Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." So we have permanent rewards. Now we have compassion if we understand the need and give what those basic needs to people. Jesus says there's going to be a permanent reward. I'd like to think a little bit about the permanent rewards. There are several things that are required in order for us to receive permanent rewards. First thing I think of is that we need to understand that we are doing these things for Christ's sake. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. This is a cross-reference of the same passage that we were looking at here. Mark chapter 9, thinking about how that we must do this for Christ's sake. Verse 41. We'll start in verse 39. "But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." It needs to be done for the sake of Christ. Because ye belong to Christ. Now, back in our passage here that we're looking at in Matthew 10, it says, "Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall no wise lose his reward." Now it says in the name of a disciple, and I'm not exactly sure how he means that there. I've thought about it a number of different ways, asked a few different brothers who were different ideas, widely varying, so I look forward to hearing maybe some more thoughts on what it means. But one thing that several mentioned, and I think there's something to this, is says giving a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple. It could be that he's saying it because he is a disciple. Giving a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, or because so-and-so is a disciple, he's giving him a cup of cold water. Now, you could take that several different ways, but in any case, I think that right there is a fundamental good reason to give a cup of cold water to someone because they are a servant of Christ. Disciple means pupil or learner. So I give a cup of cold water to so-and-so because he is a learner of Jesus Christ. He's a pupil. He's a student. He's someone who is following Jesus Christ and seeking to learn. And whatever Jesus says, he's going to do that. So then I'm going to give him a cup of cold water because I know that he's going to put that to good use. He's going to use all his energy and his talents to serve Christ. So if I don't know for sure what to do, I can at least be a blessing to a brother who is a pupil of Christ, a student of Christ. Now it requires receiving these permanent rewards also requires an eternal perspective. Now it says that he shall not lose his reward, but it doesn't say that his reward will come to him very soon. These rewards mostly will be in heaven. So it requires an internal perspective, recognizing that giving this cup of cold water now, even though I might hardly have the time or hardly think I have the time, or I have other things that might be more pressing, no, I still should give this cup of cold water now because in eternity there will be a reward for it. It requires an eternal perspective. Jesus says that he will not lose his reward. Now, I think that Jesus doesn't say it here, but I think there's some things that are obvious from the rest of Scripture that if you want to not lose your reward, there's certain things that you should pay attention to so that you don't lose that reward. I was thinking about 1 Corinthians 13:3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, now that's going a lot farther than just taking a cup of cold water to someone. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So there's a way to lose your reward. I think Jesus is obviously implying that it would be done from a heart of love because this person is a disciple. But that would be a way to lose a reward, doing it without charity. Just doing it for our own glory or because it might make us look good. That is a sure way to lose our reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 gives us another clue of something another way that we could lose our reward. Verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, the ones who God loves, it's saying, obviously the ones whom God loves are the ones whom he's going to give that reward to in heaven. So, if we give grudgingly, yeah, I'll give you this cup of water, but I sure don't think you deserve it. You should have been able to get this yourself. Or you need this because you made a mistake in some other area, now I have to help you out with this. It says, not grudgingly. That is a way to lose our reward. Yes, sometimes there might be situations that we have the opportunity to help with where there's need for more than just a cup of cold water. There might be need for some sharing of advice or tips or some wisdom. There might be other things that are also needed, but not grudgingly or of necessity, just because you have to. Jesus said, I should give this cup of cold water and I want my reward, so here it is. No. God loveth a cheerful giver, one who loves to give, one who's willing to lay up treasures in heaven, one who's excited about the possibilities of filling this cup up with cold water and giving it and receiving a reward for it, seeking to be a blessing for those who are around him. See, one of the reasons for this, that a person receives a permanent reward for something so basic as giving a cup of cold water, is that in God's economy, the deed of kindness done to a brother is just the same as if it was done to Christ himself. Like we read here in verse 40 of chapter 10, he that receiveth you receiveth me. So if you receive this disciple, this person who's serving Christ, who's seeking to be a servant of Christ, if you receive him, it's the same as if you're receiving Christ. He goes on to say that if you're receiving Christ, that's the same as if you're receiving God. So when you give this cup of cold water to someone who's serving Christ, in God's economy, it's the same as if you gave it to Christ. That's why there's an eternal reward. We're rewarded because in God's value system, what is done to His children is done to Him. It's just the same in His economy. You know, if we were out somewhere going down the road and we met Christ walking along the side of the road and He was thirsty, it was a hot day, he had no water with Him, and we had some cold water along and we gave Him a glass of cold water, we could understand that He would be rewarded probably sometime, right? So that would kind of make sense. But Christ is saying that in exactly the same way, when you give a cup of cold water to someone who is in need, a servant of His, a disciple, a pupil, a learner of His, you are giving it to Christ. It's exactly the same. God considers it the same whether we serve Him, serve it to Him, or to His children. Like it says in Colossians 3, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And those who help prophets, in this next verse it mentions about prophets, those who help prophets are rewarded the same as prophets. It says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So, prophet, of course, we normally think of that term in the sense of someone who is foretelling future events, but there's a lot more to that word than just foretelling future events. A brother or ministers who speak God's word in a situation that, or stand up here and speak God's word, when our ministers do that, that is the same, basically, essentially the same as a prophet. I forget the definition of prophet, but it basically means to proclaim God's word. So when we receive a prophet, because he's a prophet, we are rewarded along as if with the same reward, in a sense, like that brother will receive. Elijah, in the Old Testament, Elisha, in the Old Testament, had this certain woman that he passed through this certain area, and she invited him in several different times to her house to eat. She was serving this prophet. And after a while she says to her husband, he's going through here and he's serving God. I'm persuaded he's serving God. Why don't we put over here along to the side, why don't we put a little room where he could spend his night when he comes here. We could put a bed and we could give him food and all that, put a light there. And they did that. Now, she was serving alongside of that prophet just exactly the same. And according to what Jesus is saying, because she received a prophet, because he was a prophet, she's going to receive a prophet's reward. Just simply with that. Just with some bricks and some mortar and a bed and a candlestick, because she was doing it for someone who was serving the Lord, she's going to be rewarded along with them. Isn't that an amazing possibility? Amen. That you can turn those basic things into a permanent reward. Those basic physical things. Another example was when there was this, the prophet went to this, God sent him to this widow. Now this might have, okay, I think this one was Elijah. I get those mixed up sometimes. But Elijah was sent to this woman who God said that I've commanded her to sustain thee. And she was there. She only had this little bit of meal and this little bit of oil, and she was going to make her last bit of food, and then she was expecting that her and her son would die after that. But God gave her the opportunity to serve the man of God, the prophet, and she did. She did it willingly. She did it wholeheartedly, even though she didn't understand how God was going to provide for her. She didn't yet see that her barrel was full of flour, or that her jug of oil was filled. she went ahead and willingly did that at God's promise, and she, according to what Jesus says here, will also receive the reward of a prophet, just simply for serving. Converting that flour and that oil, along with a compassionate heart, understanding the need of the prophet, she's going to have permanent rewards. Amen. And Jesus says, those who help a righteous brother, they'll be rewarded. The ordinary brother, brother who's seeking to serve the Lord, doesn't have any special, what we would consider a special gifting or calling on his life. A righteous man. When we seek to be a blessing to him, we build him up. We give him a cup of cold water when he needs it. When we do those things, that's when we receive the reward. The Philippians were a good example of converting what they had, the food that they had, whatever else they had, into eternal riches. Paul was in need, and they sent several times to help him. He says, when he's writing the book of Philippians to them, he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So Paul is saying, I'm not so concerned about getting what I need, but he said, I'm excited about this, that you are giving, and God's going to reward you for it. Amen. You're converting this food and this whatever else, clothing maybe, you're converting that into heavenly treasures. You're going to have a permanent reward for that cup of cold water, so to speak. I'd like to turn now to Matthew 25 and read a portion from there yet. I'm going to read beginning in verse 31. And we read Matthew 25 often. This portion of Scripture is a very familiar one to us. But let's just think about what it's actually saying here. Especially the words of our King. So it's describing the scene when we're there on the final day. Everything's been done that's going to be done. We've lived how we're going to. Our life is over, and we're standing there before the throne. And God is going to separate those who have served Him and those who haven't. And here in this passage, what he describes is little basic things, very common, ordinary things that these brothers were willing, brothers and sisters were willing to do, that gave them reward. And it was unwillingness to do those basic things, those ordinary things, those common things, that sent the others to destruction. Let's read in verse 31 of chapter 25. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, let's just pause there for a bit. Ye blessed of my Father. Blessed by the Almighty Creator of the universe. He's saying, those of you, this group here, who are blessed. And he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, we're going to read on to what they actually did, but it's ones who took cups of cold water and they gave it. And he's rewarding them with a kingdom. A tremendous difference in value according to earthly ways of calculation. A cup of cold water given to a brother in need versus a kingdom. Tremendous difference. Verse 35, "For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me." Ordinary things, brothers. Going and visiting someone who's sick, it's not a very glamorous thing. But brothers and sisters, when we go visit someone who's sick, because they're a disciple of Christ or because of Christ, whether or not they're a disciple of Christ, this is something that God pays attention to. "I was sick and you visited me," in verse 36. "I was in prison and you came unto me." "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? I don't remember ever walking down the road and seeing you thirsty and giving you a drink. I don't remember. Don't remember any time that I saw you hungry." No, we didn't do that. "When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" You weren't around where you weren't ever sick that we could go visit you. "And the king shall answer," verse 40, "and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. One of these little ones. One of these despised ones. We've done it unto him. We've done it unto Christ. He says, "You've done it unto me." Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison. And ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? I never saw you doing that. If I had seen you needing help, I would have done it. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amazing scene. Amazing that God values so highly the little deeds of kindness. I was just very amazed as I studied through this and realized what all God says about the importance of helping, caring for those around us. You know, these people here on the right hand, they had compassion, but they were small deeds. They had forgotten about them. They didn't remember about them. But they also had understanding. They understood the needs around them, and they helped. And God permanently rewarded them for it. When you and I stand before the throne, will we be among those who lived lives of humble servanthood? Who handed a cup of cold water to the thirsty, took time to visit a sick brother, took a meal to an overwhelmed mother, and took in those who needed taken in? Will you and I be those who served first here in Casey County and beyond, wherever the Lord calls us? I feel like we are doing this. I feel like you are doing this. But I want to encourage us. And may the Lord bless each of you as you seek to be compassionate givers who understand the needs around us. And as we look forward to the permanent rewards that is laid up for us by our Father in heaven. Lord bless you all.